Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the 14th day of December in the year of our Lord 2020. You're listening to the Daily Sword, a daily guide to prayer and Bible reading produced by Sovereign King Church in Southern Indiana and on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I pray this podcast is a blessing to you. Let us begin. Our call to faith and repentance today comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. The people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And then they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Brothers, much to accomplish in this short little passage. The angel had appeared to Zacharias. Zacharias did not initially believe, and so he was struck dumb. Zacharias, though, was given a great promise as he came out, and the promise was for them to have a child that would be a forebearer to Christ Jesus. So he comes out of the temple, unable to speak, and then the people realize something has happened, right? He was in there too long. Why was he in there so long for this ministry that he was called to? So he comes out. He's unable to speak. They realize something's happened. Maybe he's seen a vision in the temple. And then he goes home, and his wife becomes pregnant. And then she goes into hiding, seclusion, for 5 months. And there's been many different discussions of why that possibly would be. Some seems to think that maybe she herself wasn't quite sure, and she wanted to make sure that when she came out and was seen by others, that it would be certain that she was pregnant. Calvin seems to think that, yes, she believed, but she wanted to make sure that there would be no way that the miracle of God could be maligned. You know, it takes a while to show that you're pregnant. And so she didn't want people to malign it, to test it, to doubt it, or for her to come across too prideful. And so she was doing this, hiding herself for the honor of others. And then lastly, she says, "The Lord has dealt with me by removing her disgrace." Now, what was her disgrace? See, in our day, we don't understand this disgrace. We think, what was the disgrace that she had? She didn't have any children. She was barren. I want to read to you what Calvin says, specifically John Calvin, on this passage. And may this be a call to us in our day who somehow see barrenness, having no children, as a blessing, rather as a disgrace. So look and listen to what Calvin says. He says, "When he looked that he might take away my reproach," that's when that phrase in the scripture, "she assigns it as the cause of her barrenness that the favor of God had been at that time withdrawn from her. Among earthly blessings, scripture speaks in the highest terms of the gift of offspring. And justly, for if the productiveness of the inferior animals is his blessing, the increase in fruitfulness of the human race ought to be reckoned a much higher favor. It is no small or mean honor that God, who alone is entitled to be regarded as a father, admits the children of the dust to share with him this title. Let us therefore hold this doctrine, that children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward." But Elizabeth looked further, for though barren and old, she had conceived by a remarkable miracle, and contrary to the ordinary course of nature. "That he might take away my reproach." Not without reason has barrenness been always accounted a reproach, for the blessing of the womb is enumerated among the signal instances of the divine kindness. Some think that this was a peculiar thing to the ancient people, because Christ was to come from the seed of Abraham. So they would say that, yes, it would be bad to be part of the seed of Abraham and be barren because Christ wouldn't come. But Calvin says this has no reference except to the tribe of Judah. Others think more correctly that the multiplication of the holy people was happy and blessed, as was said to Abraham, "I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth." And again, "Tell the stars, if thou be able to number them, so shall they seed be." Genesis 15:5. Calvin says we ought to connect the universal blessing, which extends to the whole human race, with the promise made to Abraham, which is peculiar to the church of God. Therefore, let parents learn to be thankful to God for the children which he has given them, and let those who have no offspring acknowledge that God has humbled them in this matter. Elizabeth speaks of it exclusively as a reproach among men, for it is a temporal chastisement from which we will suffer no loss in the kingdom of heaven. Notice Calvin is speaking in strong terms that children are a blessing, and that it was a reproach, a temporal chastisement. Not that someone who has been barren is kept out of the kingdom of heaven, he says, but that this is a sign of God's humbling them. Now, God may have purposes for that, and it may not be of any necessary sin on their part, but it is an affliction. And therefore, it is something that those who struggle with ought to cry out to the Lord for. And if they should cry out to the Lord, how foolish then are we in our day to willingly seek to be barren? To enter in marriage without even the hope of wanting to have children. Children are a blessing from the Lord. We must have our eyes open to see that. So, dear brothers, as we come to the text of Scripture today, and we come receiving from that, where are we convicted of our sins? Where have we not been good fathers? Where have we not been good mothers? Where have we not held children into the high esteem that the Lord does? Where have we not humbled ourselves by the afflictions that God brings upon us to cry out to Him and call for His mercy? Where have we not protected the glory of God by putting out things before people so that they may malign them? You know, Elizabeth protected the glory of God, revealing his miracle at the right time. Whatever our sin is today, let us come before God with a humble, lowly, repentant, and obedient heart so that we might receive forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are unworthy to come into your presence because of our many sins. We do not deserve any grace or mercy from you if you dealt with us as we deserve. We've sinned against you, O Lord, and we have offended you. And yet, O Lord, as we acknowledge our sins and offenses, so also do we acknowledge you to be a merciful God, a loving and favorable Father to all who turn to you. And so we humbly ask you, for the sake of Christ your Son, to show mercy to us and forgive us all our offenses. Forgive the sins of our youth and the sins of our old age. By your Spirit, O God, take possession of our hearts so that not only the actions of our life, but also the words of our mouths and the smallest thought of our minds may be guided and governed by you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us as sinners. Brothers, examine your consciences to know whether you truly repent of your sins, and whether by trusting in God's mercy and seeking your salvation in Jesus Christ alone, you are resolved to pursue holiness and to live in peace and love with all men. If this is the testimony that you have in your hearts before God, then be assured that your sins are forgiven through the perfect merit of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Dear brothers, our King and Savior draweth nigh. O come, let us adore him. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth will show forth thy praise. Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Listen now to this psalm reading from Psalm chapter 144. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. A psalm of David. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield and in he whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. O Lord, What is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, that they may smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and confuse them. Stretch forth your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, out of the hand of aliens, whose mouths speak deceit, and whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a harp of 10 strings I will sing praises to you, who gives salvation to kings, who rescues David his servant from the evil sword. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of aliens, whose mouth speaks deceit, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Let our sons in their youth be as grown-up plants, and our daughters as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace. Let our garners be full, furnishing every kind of produce, and our flocks bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields. Let our cattle bear without mishap and without loss. Let there be no outcry in our streets. How blessed are the people who are so situated. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen and hallelujah. Brothers, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Therefore, listen to this Old Testament reading from 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 14, through chapter 10, verse 31. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now, Joram with all Israel was defending Ramoth-Gilead against Hazael, king of Aram. But King Joram had returned to Jezreel to be healed of the wounds which the Arameans had inflicted on him when he fought with Hazael, king of Aram. So Jehu said, "If this is your mind, then let no one escape or leave the city. Go tell it in Jezreel." Then Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram was lying there. Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to see Joram. Now the watchman was standing on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came and said, "I see a company." And Joram said, "Take a horseman and send him to meet them and let them say, 'Is it peace?'" So a horseman went to meet him and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" And Jehu said, "What have you to do with peace? Turn behind me." And the watchman reported, "The messenger came to them, but he did not return." Then he sent out a second horseman, who came to them and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" And Jehu answered, "What have you to do with peace? Turn behind me." The watchman reported, "He came even to them, and he did not return. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously." Then Joram said, "Get ready." And they made his chariot ready. Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot. And they went out to meet Jehu, and found him in the property of Naboth, the Jezreelite. When Joram saw Jehu, he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace? So long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many." So Joram reined about and fled and said to Ahaziah, "There is treachery, O Ahaziah." And Jehu drew his bow with his full strength and shot Joram between his arms. An arrow went through his heart and he sank in his chariot. Then Jehu said to Bidkar, his officer, "Take him up and cast him into the property of the field of Naboth, the Jezreelite. For I remember when you and I were riding together after Ahab his father, that the Lord laid this oracle against him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, says the Lord, and I will repay you in this property, says the Lord. Now then, take and cast him into the property, according to the word of the Lord." When Ahaziah, the king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house. And Jehu pursued him and said, "Shoot him too in the chariot." So they shot him at the ascent of Gur, which is at Abelim. But he fled to Megiddo and died there. Then his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his grave with his fathers in the city of David. Now, in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, Ahaziah became king over Judah. When Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her eyes and adorned her head and looked out the window. As Jehu entered the gate, she said, "Is it well, Zimri, your master's murderer?" Then he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And two or three officials looked down at him. He said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. When he came in, he ate and drank, and he said, "See now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." They went to bury her, but they found nothing more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they returned and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'In the property of Jezreel the dog shall eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the corpse of Jezebel will be as dung on the face of the field in the property of Jezreel.' So they cannot say, 'This is Jezebel.'" Now Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria, and Jehu wrote letters and sent them to Samaria, to the rulers of Jezreel, the elders, and to the guardians of the children of Ahab, saying, "Now, when this letter comes to you, since your master's sons are with you, as well as the chariots and horses and a fortified city and the weapons, select the best and fittest of your master's sons and set him on your father's throne and fight for your master's house." But they feared greatly and said, "Behold, the two kings did not stand before him. How then can we stand?" And the one who was over the household, and he was over the city, the elders, the guardians of the children, sent word to Jehu, saying, "We are your servants. All that you say to us we will do. We will not make any man king. Do what is good in your sight." Then he wrote a letter to them a second time, saying, "If you are on my side, and you will listen to my voice, take the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me at Jezreel tomorrow about this time." Now the king's sons, 70 persons, were with the great men of the city who were rearing them. When the letter came to them, they took the king's sons and slaughtered them, 70 persons, and put their heads in baskets and sent them to him at Jezreel. When the messenger came and told him, saying, "They have brought the heads of the king's sons," he said, "Put them in two heaps at the entrance of the gate until morning." Now in the morning he went out and stood and said to all the people, "You are innocent. Behold, I conspired against my master and killed him. But who killed all these? Know then that there shall fall to the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spoke concerning the house of Ahab. For the Lord has done what he spoke through his servant Elijah." So Jehu killed all who remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men and his acquaintances and his priests, until he left him without a survivor. Then he arose and departed and went to Samaria. On the way, while he was at Beth Aked of the shepherds, Jehu met the relatives of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, "Who are you?" And they answered, "We are the relatives of Ahaziah, and we have come down to greet the sons of the king and the sons of the queen mother." He said, "Take them alive." So they took them alive and killed them at the pit of Beth Aked, 42 men, and he left none of them. Now when he had departed from there, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he greeted him and said to him, "Is your heart right, as my heart is with your heart?" And Jehonadab answered, "It is." Jehu said, "If it is, give me your hand." And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him in the chariot. He said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So he made him ride in his chariot. When he came to Samaria, he killed all who remained to Ahab in Samaria until he had destroyed him, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to Elijah. Then Jehu gathered all the people and said to them, Ahab served Baal a little. Jehu will serve him much. Now summon all the prophets of Baal, all his worshippers, and all his priests. Let no one be missing, for I have a great sacrifice for Baal. Whoever is missing shall not live. But Jehu did it in cunning, so that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu said, sanctify a solemn assembly for Baal. And they proclaimed it. Then Jehu sent throughout Israel. All the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left who did not come. And when they went into the house of Baal was filled from one end to the other. He said to the one who was in charge of the wardrobe, bring out garments for all the worshippers of Baal. So he brought out garments for them. Jehu went into the house of Baal with Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, and he said to the worshippers of Baal, search and see that there is here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but only the worshippers of Baal. And they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had stationed for himself 80 men outside, and he said, one who permits any of the men whom I bring into your hands to escape shall give up his life in exchange. Then it came about, as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and to the royal officers, go in, kill them, let none come out. And they killed them with the edge of the sword, and the guard and the royal officers threw them out, and went to the inner room of the house of Baal. They brought out the sacred pillars of the house of Baal and burned them. They also broke down the sacred pillar of Baal and broke down the house of Baal and made it a latrine to this day. Thus Jehu eradicated Baal out of Israel. However, as for the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin, from these Jehu did not depart, even the golden calves that were at Bethel and that were at Dan. The Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in executing what is right in my eyes, and have done to the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, your sons to the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. But Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all his heart. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, which he made Israel sin. This is the word of the Lord. And we give praise to God. O Lord, our God, make speed to save us. Lord, if a man like Jehu with such passion and fire could execute the judgment of God, could destroy temples to idols, and yet, God, still not obey your law, what hope do we have? God, make us passionate for your glory. Make the fire of Jehu pale in comparison to what you would put in us. And then, Lord, we pray that you would help us to keep your law. Lord, let us not just be against the idols of others, but our own idols. Let us not keep them safe, but rather let us destroy them. Just as the temple of Baal was made a latrine, let all of our idols come to the same fate. Now, brothers, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. For of his fullness we have all received in grace upon grace. Therefore, listen to the New Testament reading from Acts chapter 17. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Now when they had traveled from Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them. And for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. And attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also, and Jason has welcomed them. And they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." They stirred up the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things. And when they had received the pledge from Jason and the others, they released them. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. But when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed to Paul by in Berea also, they came there as well, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul out to go as far as the sea, and Silas and Timothy remained there. Now those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they left. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. And also some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers were conversing with him. Some were saying, "What would this idle babbler wish to say?" Others, "He seems to be a proclaimer of strange deities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is which you are proclaiming? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. So we want to know what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new. So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects, for while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he has made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." Now when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer, but others said, "We shall hear you again concerning this." So Paul went out of their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysus the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God as we profess that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Therefore, listen to this reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. From the fruit of a man's mouth he enjoys good, but the desire of the treacherous is violence. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. A righteous man hates falsehood, but a wicked man acts disgustingly and shamefully. Righteousness guards the one whose way is blameless, but wickedness subverts the sinner. There is one who pretends to be rich but has nothing. Another pretends to be poor but has great wealth. The ransom of a man's life is his wealth, but the poor hears no rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked goes out. Through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Let us pray. Most High God, the universe with all its myriad creatures is thine, made by thy word, upheld by thy power, governed by thy will. But thou art also the Father of mercies, the God of all grace, the bestower of all comfort, the protector of the saved. Thou hast been mindful of us, hast visited us, preserved us, given us a goodly heritage, the Holy Scriptures, the joyful gospel, the Savior of souls. We come to thee in Jesus' name, make mention of his righteousness only, plead his obedience and sufferings, who magnified the law both in its precepts and penalty, and made it honorable. May we be justified by his blood, saved by his life, joined to his spirit. Let us take up his cross and follow him. May the agency of thy grace prepare us for thy dispensations. Make us willing that thou shouldest choose us our inheritance, and determine what we shall retain or lose, suffer or enjoy. If blessed with prosperity, may we be free from its snares and use, not abuse, its advantages. May we patiently and cheerfully submit to those afflictions which are necessary. When we're tempted to wander, hedge up our way. Excite in us abhorrence of sin. Wean us from the present evil world. Assure us that we shall at last enter Emmanuel's land, where none is ever sick and the sun will always shine. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, brothers, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You've been listening to The Daily Sword by Sovereign King Church. We pray this is a blend of blessing to you. Visit www.sovereignkingchurch.com for more.